Good morning. Thanks for tuning in today. Everything has changed. Everything. I get 3 weeks to the gallon of gas. Meals have been easier to pull off because we don't have sporting events to go to at night. School's a little more complicated than it used to be. Routines are messed up. My sleep patterns have changed. I'm out of the house less, but I work twice as much. And I don't know what it's like in your house, but that's kind of like what it's in mine. I'm guessing it's pretty similar. And I think the only one that's really happy in all of this is probably your dog. Life couldn't be better for your dog. He's got people home all the time. Everything in our world has changed when it's come to our present circumstances. And we can all admit this. Stuff happens. Life comes at us. And it sometimes leaves us asking, now what? Now what do I do in light of my present circumstances? And some of you, if not most of you, were already dealing with some issue before this virus surfaced. We all have a what? Something in our life that has changed. But the real challenge comes when we don't understand the why. You know what I mean when I say that? We all have that what? What's going on in my life, and usually we don't understand the why something is happening in my life. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did this circumstance, why did this thing come? And right now, I'm guessing for most of you, this defines your struggle. Why has this happened? And I want you to write something down. If you're somebody that likes to take notes, I want you to write this down. I hope it brings encouragement to you today. God always has a why behind the what. Let me repeat that. God always has a why behind the what. Yes, everything has changed, and the good news is God always has a why. Our God never wastes anything. He's not going to waste your hurts. He's not going to waste your affliction. He's got something. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And right now, even though the world seems to be held captive by a virus, let me tell you something. God is still in control. This didn't surprise him. God has a why for the what that we don't understand. Yes, stuff happens, and stuff will continue to happen for the rest of your life. But here's something I believe with all my heart. God wants to change us in the process. God wants to do a work in my life. God wants to do a work in your life through this. Which brings me to another important point. If you're taking notes, I don't have to understand the why to trust God with the what. I don't have to understand the why to trust God with the what. And this is important to grasp because God wants me to grow. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay where you are. And God wants to grow us. God wants to mature us. He wants to walk alongside us through this. He wants to help us to love more and to take less. But here's something I've discovered when it comes to growth. And maybe you've discovered this as well. And you could write this down too if you're taking notes. Here's something about growth. Growth requires change. And change brings loss, and loss equals pain. Let me give you two questions that you and I, we typically ask when life gets hard. The first question that you're going to ask, and I'm going to invite you to kind of bounce over that for now. We can figure that one out later. But the first question we ask is why? Why is this happening to me? And here's what I want us to do instead. I want us to ask this question. Where we come to the place where we say, okay, I'm going through something, but now what? Now what? Actually, let's do that. Let's ask that question. Everybody, we're going to ask that. Ready? One, two, three. Now what? I didn't hear you. That's where we're at. We can even say, God, I don't like what's going on, but now what? How would you like me to respond to what's going on? Show me what to do. What is my next step? And a lot of times we get to this place where we're going along and we say, this isn't good. I don't see God working here. I don't feel His presence. I don't understand this. And I want to encourage you to stop. Just pause right there and all of that confusion and have a change of perspective and recognize God is big enough and even specializes in working through things we don't understand. The God that we serve, He can turn things, what you and I call obstacles, and He can turn those into divine opportunities for Him to show Himself and to glorify Himself in our lives. We serve a God that can take what we call setbacks, and He can actually turn those into step-ups for Him to be glorified and for us to make a difference. So we're going to start a sermon series today, and we're going to look in the book of Colossians. And specifically, we're going to look at a couple verses in the middle of chapter 3. But let me give you a little bit of context so you understand where the Apostle Paul is writing and the message he wants to send out. So the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to a group of Christians in the city of Colossae. And what's kind of interesting about this is Paul was in prison. In fact, he was under house arrest. Maybe some of you can relate to that right now. You feel like you're under house arrest. And he wrote this letter of challenge and encouragement. And it centers in the identity of the believer. What does it mean that I'm a follower of Christ? Who am I now that Christ is coming, has come into my life? And he wants to remind them of who they are and encourage them down this road of maturity. Because God wants to mature you. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. Things are not happening in your life because God wants you to stay there. He allows things to happen to mature you. So let's not get bogged down in the events that are going around us. But let's have faith and recognize Jesus Christ, the one who defeated the grave, the one who defeated sin, the one that Zeph prayed about, that He's not on the cross. He's been resurrected. He still has authority over all things, including evil. And Paul goes on and he's going to remind these Christians that they are united with Christ. And if we're united with Christ, then we share in His power and we share in His authority. And that's how we can fight against evil. That's how we fight against sin because of Christ in our lives. And he's going to tell them to fight against the bad behavior that they have in their own lives and to pursue what is right and to live distinctively different than the rest of the world. Right now in the middle of this crisis, people should look at Christians and see how are they responding? How are you setting the tone for how the church should live? So we're gonna pick up in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, and it's going to be there on your screen. And he just finished challenging the readers to put off, to undress of an old way of living. It's kind of like you have something on and it's hideous and it's bad and you're like, I need to take this off. I need to remove this and put something else on. And you and I, we have old ways of thinking. We sometimes think like the world and we live like the world. And Paul says, I want you to take that stuff off and live differently because you are now in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's what he says to do instead of the old way. So Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12, he says, put on then, as God's holy chosen ones, holy and beloved, that's who you are. You are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And here's what he wants you to put on. He says, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. And he says, above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So when you look at this passage, there's actually only one command in these verses. And I don't know if you caught that. In my translation, it says put on. Other translations, or you can even think about this way, where he's saying, clothe yourself. This is how you want to dress yourself. When you go out, and when you finally leave your house and go out into public, he says, this is what you need to be clothed in. And he gives five descriptors of what we are supposed to be as Christians. Those descriptions are compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. But if we're going to put those on, first we've got to take off the things that are hindering us. And think about that right in the midst of your circumstances. What are the things that are hindering that you need to put off? And let me give you two steps, because I guess you would agree with me. We've entered a season of a non-normal, right? This is a non-normal. Maybe it's the new normal. And we're still asking that question, now what? So let me give you two steps. Number one, normalize the right things. Normalize the right things in your life. And this begins by gaining the right perspective. And where are we going to gain that? Right here. This is where we're going to gain the right perspective. And perspective drives everything, especially when we're going through a season of stress and challenge. So how do we do that? How do we gain that right perspective? And you can do this. My list makers out there, you like making lists? Why don't you list the things that you can control or that you can't control? You might have a really big list there, but you can't control what's going on around you. You can't control the government. You can't control how the people around you are responding. And you can go ahead and grieve those losses over the things that you can't control. Go ahead and make a second list of the things that you can control. Here's what I can control. I can control my attitude. I can control my choices, my spiritual walk, what I do with the resources that I have. And I pray that all of these things that you can control, that you would be practical with those and say, God, how do I use those right now? The gifts that you have given me, how do I use those for your kingdom? And take time to reflect. Don't waste this. Don't waste this. Don't see this as something we just get through. But take time to reflect and to rest and renew. And our attitude should be one of trust. God, I don't know all the whys, but I know the who, and I know the what. And I'm going to trust in you. Because here's what happens with most people. This is my experience. They go into a difficult season of life, and they do one of three things. Fight. I'm going to fight my way out of this. Flight. I'm out of here. I'm not going to put up with this. Or they freeze. And they sit there and do nothing. And you know what? None of those are healthy. Paul's going to offer us something healthy where we grow in trust and we focus on the things that are right, the things that are good, of who Christ is. And why do we do that? Because here's the thing. How I think determines who I become. That's going to determine my character in the days and the weeks and the years to come. How do I think? And if you look at Paul, how does he think? For him, everything is about Jesus Christ. Because in another place, he says this. He says, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. So what is Paul saying? It's about Christ. I need to be focused in him. I need to go there. And what is he saying in these verses to us? He's saying, stop reacting. Stop reacting to everything that's going along. Stop getting caught up in your old ways. He's saying, listen, church, you are different. You have been changed. And he wants you to continue to bring about the right changes in your life. Now, if you see somebody you admire, and you think, I want to experience the same things that they're experiencing, you want to just copy what they were doing, right? Because that's kind of like their lifestyle. But what you would do is figure out, how do they think? Because I need to think the way that person does it. And that's what Paul is asking us to do, is to put on the mind of Christ. To think the way Christ would do. How he would think. And think about that. Here's some questions that help you see if you have the mind of Christ, or if that's where you're operating from. Do you see yourself as loved? Do you see yourself as loved by the Creator of the universe. Christ had that. That was his understanding. He knew that his Father had loved him. Do you see yourself as forgiven? Do you recognize that Jesus has died on the cross for your sins and for your salvation? Do you see that God has provided for you? That God is going to meet your needs and you can trust in Him? Do you see that? Do you see yourself in a relationship with the Creator? Do you see that relationship as personal? Or maybe you see yourself this way. Do you define yourself by the world's definitions of success and failure? Are you caught up in the tidal wave of culture and news and conspiracy theories and trying to figure that all out? And Paul is challenging us. He's saying, church, you've got to pause. In the midst of chaos, you need to pause because you need to think differently than the world. The world separates itself by economic class, by ethnic group, by cultural bent, by ideology, all of these things, where you and I, as the church, we are called to be an example of what God can do and what God wants to do through other people's lives. And that begins with you and I thinking the way Christ thinks, having the mind of Christ in our own lives. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about attitude, right? What's my attitude? What's your attitude? An attitude, I would say, is your mental habits, right? It's your thoughts. It's your habits of your thoughts. It's the way you train your brain to work. And what do we know about habits? They're acquired. We can change our habits. You can create new habits. You can create good habits. You can create healthy habits. Or you can create poor habits. And I'm telling you, this is a season that you're going to do one or the other. You're going to create poor habits, or you're going to create good habits. And just to be totally clear, I'm not preaching just positive thinking here, okay? That positive thinking is important. But what Paul is talking about is being Christ-like. Having the mind of Christ, having the attitude of Christ, having a renewal of your mind. Why? Because your life is a reflection of the thoughts you think. So I said we have two steps here, and the first was to normalize the right things. The second thing that the church needs to do, and the church needs to do this more than ever, we need to mobilize in the right ways. There's a lot of ways we can mobilize our lives towards and around, and more than any time in my lifetime and probably yours, this is a call for the church to be the church, to see ourselves as part of a greater purpose. And God is calling me, God is calling you to clothe ourselves in love. Clothe ourselves in love that shows itself in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. In other words, guess what you and I are called to do? We're called to serve. And this can only happen when you and I develop a servant's heart for one another. We need to be the people. We need to be the ones that are making a contribution, that are making a difference. And this is not just what we're called to do. It's an essence of who we are. You and I are servants. We need to do that in practical ways where we take time to talk to others. Don't you walk through your neighborhood. People are sitting outside. Greet your neighbors. We need to share stories. We need to share stories and remind ourselves that God has been faithful in the past to us. God has been faithful here in His Word, and God has been faithful to us through the centuries. And one of the ways we love one another is to remind each other of God's faithfulness. We need to prioritize connection. You know, we talk about social distance. Let's just call it physical distance, because we need to socially connect. You and I were designed for community. And you know what that's going to require? It's going to require some self-sacrifice. It requires love to do these things. And that's what Paul's calling us to do, because listen, If I have love, but it requires no sacrifice, that's convenience. That's not love. And here's the problem that happens. Sometimes we as Christians, we're used to going to a place called the church. And we call this building the church, or we tune in on our screens when it's convenient or our liking. And if I'm not intentional and you're not intentional, we won't get involved. And we will primarily think that the activity of the church is something for me, from the pastors, and from the worship team, just for me. And I hope God does something in you and through you. But that's not the end goal. That's not it, just that you receive something. You know, sometimes we're kind of like the Cheers theme song. We want to go a place where everybody knows our name. And we talk about this place for me. But the reality is we need to be a place that is focusing on loving and helping one another. We should be one another in one another. And I don't know if that first one's a real word or not, but you and I as the church, we ought to be one anothering one another. We ought to be loving one another. We ought to be serving one another. We ought to be praying for one another. We ought to be caring for one another. There's a whole list of them in the Bible. And what most people don't understand is this is an identity crisis. You know, trials come and we forget who we are. And we forget whose we are. And the words of Paul here is to come back to know who you are. And not just get through this, but grow through this. But as you go through this, I'm looking forward to hearing testimonies of people saying, you know, I grew closer to God through that. I loved more. I served more. God opened me up to things that I didn't see before. And this is the essence of the church. The church isn't a place. It's a group of people that are loving one another in the name of Jesus Christ. And if all you do is you come and we sit in rows or look at a screen, we're going to miss out what God wants for us. Serving's not something we do. It's who we are. Jesus said, I came to serve. I'm a servant. And how did he serve? He went to the cross. You know, we've talked about that. We talk about that all the time. That love is costly. And we give. But I think that's how we need to live in this season. And I think it's how we need to live in the next season. And going forward is loving one another. Listen. If you miss everything else, church has not been canceled. The church has been deployed. And the best way that you and I can move forward is to go out and serve and love one another. Pick up each other's burdens in this time. Look for creative ways to serve and love your neighbors. And what we want to do in the next few weeks, we're going to go back to this verse. And we're going to look at what does it mean to be these kind of people? What does it mean to put on compassion? What does it mean as we go through each one of these? And that's what we're going to look at next week, of putting on compassion. And how do we live that out? Let me close with a challenge point. If we're going to renew our mind, we probably need to put something in there. Maybe for the next 31 days, go to the book of Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. Read one a day for the next 30 days. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, we love you, we praise you. We recognize that you are God and you are still on the throne. You are not surprised by any of this. And Father, I pray that we would just say, okay, Lord, now what? And we would put on these things that Paul says to put on, and we would take off the things that he says to take off. Father, may you be glorified. May your church multiply. May we go out. May we mobilize as a force that loves people with the hope of the gospel. It's in your Son's name that we pray.